Let's go out to the McLaren Health Plan phone lines and talk with Congressman Tim Walberg. Congressman, how are you?
Tony, I'm wonderful. I'm back home, and that feels good. And it's cloudy, and we've had a nice rain, and it's not the humid 90-100 degree weather in D.C.
Well, I got out and cut the grass right before the rain hit, so I'm pretty happy about
that. You're a smart
man. All right, well, let's get your take on the debt ceiling bill. How did you vote?
I voted yes on it. And the further I get away from the actual heat of the battle and the consideration and debate and the demagoguery and all of that, the better I feel about it as a way forward. I think as the people, especially the Tea Partiers, my supporters, begin to see what it actually did and recognize the setting that we were in, I think they'll even feel better about it because it is way forward, but it has to be looked at as a one-and-a-half-year plan, not a 10-year plan. But a one-and-a-half-year plan is a down payment on what we need to do in November of 12, and that's change presidencies to one who will sign the types of legislation that we offered with a cut, cap, and balance proposal that died in the Senate, as well as other very significant alterations of our spending, I guess, addiction that has gone in Washington for too long.
Congressman, of the folks that we've talked to, the emails that we get, people understand the debt problem more than perhaps the politicians know, and this is what was expressed to me, and that from what we're learning, what we are going to cut isn't nearly enough to get us where we need to be, and there's no way that we are going to be able to really cut into this budget deficit unless unless we increase taxes. Where else are we going to get the revenue? How much can you cut?
Well, we've never increased an economy by increasing taxes. That's historic, as you know, Tony, has never happened. It's always frustrated the economy. When we have right-sized, even what we did in Michigan in the early to mid-90s, by cutting spending, reducing taxes, letting the private sector grow, we increased the economy. When we give impetus to the private sector to invest, to expand, to be creative, to use their own resources for the best purposes, we grow economies, we create jobs, and when more people are working, more people are paying taxes too, and the revenue is increased to our governmental system. That's always happened that way, and I think that has been the battle that we face in Washington now, because Republican conservatives only control one house of the three, speaking of the White House, the Senate, and the U.S. House. And until we have the ability to really push the right-sizing of government, the reprioritizing of our spending, the reduction of unnecessary and wasteful spending, and not have a president that will veto that attempt, we're not going to have success. So, but that's why I say this is a one-and-a-half-year plan. This pushes back. This gives 66% of all of the Paul Ryan proposed cuts that were put in the House-passed budget that was passed in April. It also establishes some clear caps on spending, and I'm looking forward to seeing who is appointed to this 12-member select committee, probably led by Paul Ryan, John Kyle from the Senate, and other strong conservatives that will push back on letting this president continue to spend us into oblivion.
All right, Congressman, let's take trying to grow the economy out of it. When we have debt issues at home, we cut spending and someone works a little bit harder, someone goes out and gets a job.
Yeah.
I'm not proposing that we raise taxes, but aren't we at a critical stage where we need to increase the revenue coming in almost immediately as well as cut to get this debt ceiling to get this debt problem attacked?
We do. We do. And that was the starting attempt of what was passed the other day with the kicking and screaming of the liberal left. Still are whining about the fact that we held back on the spending and no tax increases. This will give a sense of a positive outlook, I think, to markets, to investors, that maybe, just maybe, our political system has gotten wise to the fact that we can't continue this on. In your family, in my family, though, when we have a debt, we pay it. We don't default on our payments, so we pay it as best we can and as quickly as we can. But you're right, we then cut back, we restructure our spending habits, we reduce some of the frivolous things we might have in it, and even reduce some of the things that primarily are seen as necessary, an important part of our lives, until we get our ship back in order. And that's the effort that we've been working at with a number of approaches so far, including the Ryan budget that we passed in April, the cut, cap, and balance proposal that we passed and was rejected, but then went back to the same principles of cutting, of capping, and of balancing with the balanced budget amendment. And that's what I'm going to spend a lot of my time over the next number of months trying to get citizens to lobby their members of Congress, in the House and the Senate, all across this nation to pass the balanced budget amendment, send it to the states for ratification. I think the states will ratify, knowing the fact that 49 states' governors have a balanced budget requirement. We ought to have it in Congress as well.
Congressman, how long do you think it would take to balance the budget?
Well, the Ryan plan that was passed in April brings us to a total balanced budget in 26 years. Now, that's under CBO, non-dynamic scoring. Dynamic scoring is reality. The history shows that when we do the right thing in cutting unnecessary spending government, right-sizing it, bringing it back to the private sector for their opportunity, dynamic effects take place, and probably that could be reduced down to 10 to 12 years. But we've got to start somehow. I signed on and supported legislation that was the same approach as the Paul Ryan budget, supported that. That would have done it in 10 years, but it was much more aggressive cutting, and it did not pass muster in the House. So we've got to keep moving toward that direction. But I really think when the private sector's freed up, amazing things happen. Even what I saw when I was in the state legislature and we did 26 tax cuts and put welfare reform in place to work fair and edufair. And we did a number of things that were initially looked at as very, very aggressive. And they ended up working. And our state turned around in about 3 years and totally eliminated a $1.8 billion budget deficit and came in when I left in 99 with over a billion-dollar budget surplus. So it can be done, but we're going to have to bite the bullet to some degree. Politicians are going to have to listen to what reality is and what common sense is and get past this spending binge that we've been on for too long.
All right. If you look at the front page of USA Today, it talked about after the agreement, squabbling aside, raising the debt ceiling was simple. Now Congress must figure out a way what to cut. Where's the axe going to fall? Medicaid and Medicare are growing in costs, and yet you're going to have to find a way how to cut, and that's going to affect us here in Michigan, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the way forward at least has been indicated by the Republican passed budget, the Paul Ryan, so-called Paul Ryan budget plan that we passed in April. That took on 100% of our national budget, which includes not only the 40% of the budget, which is discretionary, military, and foreign aid, but also the 60% of the budget, which is the so-called entitlement programs of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security that we have paid into involuntarily, all of us who are working, and should expect that we should have that as promised. And the Paul Ryan plan, the House passed plan, does protect and save Social Security for those people on it, those people soon to be on it, myself included, my 95-year-old mother. But it also gives, I think, a great alternative for 54 years of age and younger for the future, which is a plan that is basically exactly like members of Congress and federal employees have for their health care. So that's the direction we're going. It'll be an amazing debate that will go on. But one House has passed it. The next House needs to look at it. The president needs to consider it and get off of the posturing and demagoguing and begin to work for a solution for this great country to make sure that our people continue to have the greatest living opportunity on the face of the earth, and in turn, we can be the example for the rest of the world.
And Congressman, Democrats are going to say, I've heard it already, that the Republicans want to take the poor and the senior citizens and put them out in the street and put the burden on the middle class and let the rich and the business owners escape.
isn't it sad that one party has to continue using that worn out, tired plan that is never shown to be true in any way, shape, or form, to demagogue and put fear and smear onto the table to with the least able people to defend against it, that being the elderly and the poor. The middle class is being destroyed by the numbers, by this administration. Jobs that are being lost because of overspending, overregulation, overtaxation, sending businesses offshore in order to stay alive, outsourcing offshore product production because they can't make it here. We need to turn that around and say, not only Michigan, but the United States is open for business. We will compete on the regulatory front, the taxation front, with any nation on this earth. And it's about time we do it. And for the liberal element in the Democrat Party, and even our president, to continue demagoguing and talking about throwing seniors over the cliff, when in fact that is exactly what he's doing right now. And we, with our plan, are trying to catch them, at least with a soft landing, if at all possible.
All right, I've got about 30 seconds left. I wanted to ask you, what, from your perspective, and I need this very quickly, is going to get cut here in Michigan?
In Michigan?
Yes.
At the state level or the federal level?
At the federal level, where are we going to see cuts?
We're going to cut. We're going to cut overall spending from the federal government. We're going to reduce unnecessary spending that goes to strange and crazy projects that do things like. Do studies on the dating habits of a fly and those type of things. That's what
all right, Congressman.
At.
I got to get the break. Thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you.
Okay, thank you.